Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014 in beautiful Washington, D.C. That's hashtag ASTD 2014 if you are following on Twitter. Stone, busy morning.
Yeah, welcome to our pre-lunch segment, right? We're going to have lunch after this. Is that the plan?
Yeah, theoretically, that's the plan.
We have with us Director of Organization Development with Fredericksburg Goodwill, Mr. Albert Darlington. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks.
Fredericksburg Goodwill. What are you guys out there doing? Is it just like a regular Goodwill, or are you doing something special in Fredericksburg?
Well, so there are 165 Goodwills in the nation. Our particular Goodwill, all Goodwills are individually owned and operated by the communities.
There's only 165?
Only 165.
It seems like, I mean, in Atlanta, there seems to be one on every corner.
Well, now, so they have a number of stores or donation centers. They're trying to get you to give them.
Okay, those don't count.
Well, they belong to the Atlanta Goodwill.
Oh, okay, right? So that counts as one Goodwill.
Right.
All right, so you learned something already.
Yeah.
I'm winning.
So what are some of the new trends that you're seeing these days in the learning and development arena?
So I think there's a real growing integration between organizational development efforts and learning and development efforts, and I think you're going to see that happening over the next couple of years for a couple of reasons. There are three big ones. There's the change in the employer-employee contract, I think the social contract that's associated with that, and I think you'll see easily that's observed in the healthcare debate. Changes in technology like cloud computing or mobile device use and social media, I think, is a big impact. And finally, there's this growing demand for organizational transparency in external environments that's sort of having an influence there as well with employees. Of course, you know, everybody knows how you treat your employees because their employees are on Facebook. And so, you know, there's this growing change in how we have to operate. So people look at Facebook look at organizations differently now because there's a much broader view. I can look in and I can see what's going on a little bit more clearly, or at least I have at least some people's perspective of what's going on. People talk about that sort of thing.
Are you seeing anything along the lines of as companies are kind of downsizing and less having less employees and more contract employees? Is training and development different when an organization has a lot of contract employees?
Well, absolutely. I think there are a couple of things that are playing out that way, right? The mobile device piece, I think, comes up in mind because it is sort of a new platform. But mobile device management or mobile device training and delivery, these kind of options that are coming out are kind of reflective of the 70-20-10 blended learning platform that they're using both internally and externally. And this idea that for internal folks, you're trying to get more informal experiences that are more effective. Mm-hmm. So you want to kind of augment those with these other messages that are coming through mobile platforms or the text message connection or the Brain Shark presentations that are connected to your iPhone, all of these different ways that people are getting information in a new and more innovative way that are on the go. So if I'm working on a specific project, and you mentioned contract workers, I think a lot of times organizations are treating their internal employees like contract workers. As we start to get more integrated with talent management, we're taking a look at what are the skills we have on staff, and hey, I can take these folks' skills and apply over here in this other project that's going on. So then I just need to get upskilled on these certain 2 to 3 competencies, and if I have that readily in a modulated or a modular process, I can repackage that, ensure the same message goes across because it's essentially the same content, but it's sort of set up for a new project or a new format.
So the blended learning, and that's not the first time we've heard that phrase over the last couple of days. It seems to make perfect financial sense. It certainly seems to be a great deal of efficiency. Does it lend itself to some challenges in instructional design, or does it just open up a whole new world of possibilities and it's all, just sunshine and roses on that front?
Well, it's never sunshine and roses, is it? So I think it absolutely lends itself to new challenges, but of course, training programs, training leaders need to kind of evolve with that, just like any other business outcome needs to. One of the challenges I think we see is sort of as we see the economy start to improve and folks coming back to work, more projects are being funded, then what's happening is we've got these group of folks that don't necessarily have the same same information that they had before, right? Because the organizational knowledge has evaporated. People have gone. So now we've got to rebuild that up. And so these programs offer some unique opportunity to connect, like mentorship programs, out of that sort of 70-20-10 model. If we're trying to get folks to actually ensure that we retain that organizational knowledge, the sort of knowledge management strategy is to connect those folks to senior leaders. So it improves the relationships throughout the organization. I'll come back to that in a second. But the other piece is that it sort of preserves that tacit knowledge that's in the organization that was sort of trickling out during the, you know, rough years of the economy. The other side of it is the thing I was going to say about the engagement, right? It increases employee engagement if they're connected to the leadership, if they're connected to the projects, if there's a constant conversation about that. And I think engagement, commitment, job satisfaction, these variables are going to become, while we've heard about them before, there's going to be a renewed interest in that. The labor market's turning, and people are going to be more interested in retaining folks in the organization and retaining that organizational knowledge.
Now, in your work at Goodwill, are you spending your time training the employees of Goodwill, or is some of that trickle down to the maybe the clients of Goodwill?
Both. You know, we have internal clients that are placed. So my organization focuses on people with significant cognitive disabilities. So we have specific adult basic ed programs for those folks, as well as job development efforts. And then we have clients that work in sort of other agencies that we offer job supports for and specific training around. And then we have job help centers that anybody who's looking to find a job can come in, figure out where their skills are and what kind of skills they need to get the job they want. And then ultimately, most of my focus, obviously, is organizational development. So I'm very interested in, you know, our leadership folks, our leadership team, and those exempt managers that are running those front lines. So I spend most of my time much more worried about the internal programming, while I have somebody else who worries about that external stuff, thankfully.
Now, when it comes to executing, and you're taking good, solid, timeless content in some instances, and you're putting it on different modalities and on different platforms, do some folks get kind of lost in the fray? For example, I mean, like, Lee is marvelous at what he does on radio, but I don't know how well he'd do if we put him on television, right?
Just like me, face for radio.
Right. So, if you have a live, if you have a good stand-up trainer, and then you tell him you want him or her to do e-learning, have you had some fallout from that kind of thing? Or?
You know, over the years, I've sort of seen this idea that we can I have a colleague of mine who often says, you know, anybody can train, you know, and as much as he is a brilliant guy, he's never been more wrong. And so
you're not buying that, huh?
You know, no. So I would say the same goes for instructional design. Great trainers don't always make great designers. So, you really kind of got to hedge your bets with whatever you're doing there. When it comes to e-learning, it's an interesting skill mix, right? Because we need somebody who has software development experience. We need somebody who can maneuver, you know, a number of different software platforms, and as well understand the basics of instructional design and all of the things that happen in the classroom and how those pieces augment a classroom experience or augment a larger learning and development plan.
Now, do you have any tips for organizations that have limited budgets? Because you guys probably have a challenge in that area.
We sure do. Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of great tools that are out there, and I think open source platforming for mobile devices is really sort of helped herald that in, but things like BrainShark or SharePoint, these programs are relatively inexpensive in many ways, and yet they can do or allow us to do things that, you know, 5 or 7 years ago, you'd have to pay thousands of dollars for an LMS to do. So BrainShark tracks, you know, who answered these questions, how did they answer them, and did they complete the presentation, did they get through that video, etc. SharePoint can actually store all of these talent management ideas, these skills that these folks have, and advertise them within that corporate network, so to speak. So there are some interesting technology pieces and some ways that we can start to look at this a little bit differently that are, you know, all are sunshine and roses, as it turns out.
Now, does ASTD help you, your involvement with ASTD?
You know, I've been involved with ASTD for a long, long time, and I would say, you know, some of the best things I get out of it are the connections to other folks. So I'm a CPLP. I was one of those pilot pioneer folks a bunch of years ago, and I still connect with some of those folks that went through that process with me. We're still involved in working on the CPLP stuff. So those folks are great resources, and I think ASTD, much like other professional organizations, really are there to provide just that, those alternative perspectives on how do I do this? What does this look like at George Mason University? What does this look like at, you know, SHRM? What does this look like at Capital One? I still have those folks that I can reach out to that can kind of talk to me and say, okay, well, this is what we're doing when we have unlimited budget, or this is what we're doing when they strip me of budget, et cetera.
So you know somebody that has unlimited budget? Can I have their name?
Please introduce us. We're going to interview them next.
You know, I spent some years working in the for-profit corporate, you know, banking and telecom industries.
It seemed like unlimited budget there.
Looking back on it, it sure does. Like back then, I think I complained, but nowadays I'm thinking, wow, wouldn't it be nice
to have a fraction of that, right?
Well, I'll tell you, your energy, your enthusiasm, it's contagious, and I can tell you have a good time. You really enjoy the work that you're doing. The work you're doing is so important. Please keep up the good work, man. And thanks for having this conversation with us. I want to do this again. We gotta do this again. You're just a lot of fun to talk to.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
And how about a website for Goodwill so we get this documented?
Awesome. www.fredgoodwill.org.
All right.
All right. Albert Darlington with Fredericksburg Goodwill. Thank you so much. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.